Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Is this a seller market or a buyer's market?
It's still a seller's market.
It is?
Yeah, just it's off of the definition of a seller's market, supply versus demand.
Lenders have programs called a 2-1 buy down
yep.
that can get you in a property for the first 2 years at a 4% interest rate.
What?
Yep. So those are the
pause. And so to get into a home right now, what does that credit need to look like? If I don't have a business, can I still benefit from the tax play?
Yeah,
absolutely.
All house depreciate. A house is a business. That's the thing people don't think about.
Yes.
Keith and Ryan from the Coalition Group. I didn't run an investment play.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got into it, because I was like, man, let's go get a good home for me and my family.
Yeah.
But how do we step back and be like, all right, here's a good play for me and my family and extra income?
Yeah.
So a recent list came out with 2024 billionaires list. And I have to say, it felt good to see some black people on that list. I'm talking about your Tiger Woods, your LeBron James, your Michael Jordan, your Oprah Winfrey's, your Jay-Z, your Rihanna. I mean, it was just so many names on there. And I'm gonna do a whole show on what I've learned from studying these black billionaires. What are some key things that all of them had in common? But today I wanna live with one of them. When I was studying them, all of them have their hands inside of real estate. And a huge portion of their portfolio is real estate built. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, hold up. I called Keith, I called Ryan, I said, yo, I need y'all to come through from the Coalition Group. Let's do a replay because every single month I wanna talk about real estate. We're gonna do a show every month with these guys, with these experts, to teach us on how do we get our hands inside of real estate. Because I hear you're saying, Anthony, these are billionaires. Of course they can afford to finance a 7.2% interest rate. I only make $60,000. Well, listen, today we're gonna give and talk about two main things. Why is it still the right time, the best time to get into the market? And how do we do it at the level that we're doing it right now? So before we get to Keith and Ryan from the Coalition Group, do me a quick favor, hit the thumbs up button if you're excited about what we're gonna be talking about today. And number two, nearly 70% of you are who are watching this right now, you're not subscribed to the podcast or subscribed to the YouTube channel. Why? Listen, here at the E3 community, we have a tribe of individuals who wanna focus on expanding in the areas of wellness, abundance, and freedom. And that's what we're about. We're about creating a community of people who want to have an increase in their life when it comes to financial freedom, wealth. You have it. It's here. So hit the subscribe button. Join this amazing community. And I promise you, all will be well. Listen, let's get into today's show because I'm excited about what we're about to do. So I'm going to go straight into it, guys. Yeah, we don't need to introduce y'all no more. Ryan, welcome to the table for the first time, not your last time. Keith, welcome back.
Thank you.
Interest rate is still high, bro. And I know in the last show you said, hey, Anthony, this is actually average because of our things like over the last 30, 40 something years.
Yep.
But let's be real. And I want to talk a little bit about it. It's still hurtful to and new to this generation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because since I've been alive,
yep.
the last 40 years, and I can't remember for the first 20 because, I mean, I didn't have to look at homes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
but I don't never remember it seeing it at 7-6%. Mm. Why is now still a great time to get into real estate?
Yep. I let my brother take that since it's his first time on the table.
Well, I appreciate it, Anthony. And, you know, what I think is so interesting and wonderful about this time is that we all know that in chaos mm-hmm. is opportunity.
Yes.
And when you have interest rates at 7%, yeah. that's chaos.
That's chaos.
That's mm-hmm. chaos. Yeah, people sure. feel it.
Yeah.
And what's also interesting is when you're making investment decisions, it doesn't always feel the best at the moment, facts. Quite frankly.
Facts. Facts.
And that's the problem that we have, because sometimes this investment that we're going to make, it's going to hurt a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
But it's still the right investment. Mm-hmm. And what's wonderful about that is I think there's great opportunity for equity building in this environment. Yeah. And I've seen it. Keith has seen it. Yep. We have done it in this environment. And we can go into some examples. You let us know when to go into those examples.
When I think about, like, right now, you're saying there's chaos, you know, when there is chaos, there's pretty much wealth building opportunities.
Absolutely.
I think for me, I want to talk about that. Like, how do we see that, though?
Yeah.
Because, like, if I'm making $60,000, I don't see wealth opportunities. I see a bill in front of me that I possibly can't afford.
Yep. Mm.
So how do we look past the 7% and look past that to get to, okay, this is a wealth opportunity?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we don't talk about when it comes to the home buying process, and that's the emotional piece of investing.
Yes.
And then there's the mindset piece of investing, right? Yeah. Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change.
Right.
It's one of my favorite quotes. And a lot of times, when you're making these investments, it doesn't feel good, right? We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But I believe in the prior preparation prevents poor performance.
Yes.
You got to have your budget set up.
Yeah.
You got to have your pre-approval. You got to know your numbers.
Yeah.
Right? And so you got to have a dedicated realtor to guide you through that process to help you understand those opportunities that may not look as, you know, pretty at the present moment, but 5 years from now, you're going to be sitting on a lot of money, just like yourself, right?
Yes, yes.
And a lot of times when we're trying to get into these deals, yeah, we got a bill coming up, but historically, we haven't been insulated.
Yeah.
You said it earlier, 90% of the wealthiest Americans get their wealth from real estate, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Us as a culture, we have to get insulated. Mm-hmm. We're playing defense, right? Yeah. We're on the defense.
Right.
But once we get insulated and gather those opportunities, because the average interest rate since 1994 is 8.4%.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you would have brought me a property back in when interest rates were 2%, 3%, I would have told you, well, whatever the list price is, add $50,000 to it, and then that's where the starting price is going to be at. Right now, at 7.2% interest rate, you're able to get closing help.
Yep.
Lenders have programs called a 2-1 buy down that can get you in a property for the first 2 years at a 4% interest rate.
What?
Yep. So those are the
things. Pause.
Yep.
You're saying right now there is a way to where you can get closing assistance from the builder or even from the seller.
Yep.
But then the banks, there is a way to where you can get a 4% for the first 2 years?
Yes.
Why should I do that?
It's called a two, so for flexibility and leverage.
Okay.
Right? So it's called a 2-1 buy down.
Okay.
And sometimes the seller can pay that closing cost. Back before interest rates went up, you would have, I can buy points on my loan. Right?
Yes. Yes, I remember that.
Right. Now, lenders are getting savvy because they need loans, right?
Right.
And they're saying, hey, what is a way we can get home buyers into the marketplace at an easier feeling?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? To make it feel a little bit better on them.
Right.
Well, they're taking the closing costs from the seller.
Okay.
They're buying the interest rate down for the first 2 years, right? First year, 4%. Second year, 5%. And guess what's supposed to happen in that time frame?
Right.
Interest rates are supposed to go down, and you still can refinance if you need to. Not tied to it.
Or do we think?
Because
people listening to this right now will go to their bank and say, "Hey, man, I want to get into a home, but can I get a 2-1?"
Yep.
Realistically, do we see the rates going down in the next 24 months?
I think so. Okay. I think we got another 8 to 12 months of where we are now. You know, I don't have a crystal ball, but that's what I think. Spending is too high right now.
Right.
The government likes to have inflation around 2%, right?
Right.
And so once we control that cost, I do see interest rates coming down.
Okay.
And we see that reflected in the amount of transactions that we have.
Yeah.
That we see.
Okay.
Both from our own company as well as from other, you know, nationally. The amount of transactions is really similar to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of expect, at least from a real estate perspective, mm-hmm. that last year's amount of transactions and this year's amount of transactions should be similar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based really on where the interest rates are still kind of in that same range.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I want to talk more about this, because I mean, I love how when you all come on to the show, we do a lot of teaching, right? And so to get into a home right now, what does that credit need to look like? When I think about that, you know what I'm saying? Like what exactly do I have to have? Because I know what, pre-COVID, you can get into a home with a 580.
Yeah.
But you're paying a crazy interest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Same. Yep.
It's still the same now?
Yep. Yep, still the same 580 credit score, but interest rate is going to be higher, of course.
Mm-hmm.
For most programs out there, 640 is the minimum score for most first-time home buyer programs.
Okay.
So if you're leveraging a program or down payment assistance, uh-huh. grants, things of that nature, it'll be a 640 credit score.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How much money do you need in the bank?
That's a good question. It depends on the sales price. So I typically like to say at least have about 6% of the sales price in the bank, just in case.
Is that 6% of the sales price, right, mm-hmm. in the bank after down payment, or is that total?
Total.
Okay.
Total.
All right. So do banks look at, okay, once you pay the down payment, they also want to see how much money do you have left in your account?
That's called seasoning, right?
Yes.
So I said 6%, but 3% is for down payment.
That is down payment. And then 3% is the seasoning that you're talking
closing
about.
Closing costs. Yep. Okay. So you got your down payment and then you have your closing costs, right?
Yes.
And those are the two things. People think, you know, my down payment is both. No, you separate those two. Because guess what? Sometimes you can get that closing cost paid for.
Right.
And
right.
you only have your down payment to
yes.
put down.
Yes.
Especially in the high interest rate market, remember?
Right. Right.
So that's what you want to have total in your bank account.
Let's dive into something exciting. Bethel Tech's Micro Credential Program. Just 15 weeks and you're on your way to mastering in-demand tech skills, setting you apart in today's competitive job market. And the best part? It's all online, 100% online, and fitting perfectly into your busy life. Bethel Tech isn't just about tech skills. It's about growing your character through spiritual mentorship and faith groups, shaping you into a Christian leader in the tech world. You'll learn from industry experts geared towards your success. What about landing your dream job? Bethel Tech's graduates are making waves at companies like Salesforce and Dell. And with a price tag of only $5,000, it's an investment in your future that's both affordable and valuable. Are you ready to start? With multiple start dates, there's never been a better time. Visit anthonyoneal.com/Bethel. Again, that is anthonyoneal.com/Bethel. And step into your tech career with confidence and character. Is this a seller market or the buyer's market?
It's still a seller's market.
It is?
Yeah, just it's off of the definition of a seller's market, supply versus demand. There's just not a lot of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
There are more buyers that want to be in the market than are in homes available. Now, granted, there are less buyers now.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact still stands, there's mm-hmm. still more buyers than homes available.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get over that. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, outmarket that. You can't outthink that. That's a simple equation. And that's where we are.
You know, Ryan, Keith put me to a home 3 years ago, just put a pool into. What would you tell me in my situation? I know what Keith would say in my situation, but I'm curious, what would you say?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want a modern home.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking with Keith, when I first moved here 3 years ago, we couldn't find a modern home mm-hmm. on the market. It was horrible out there.
Mm-hmm.
After the modern home, I wanted a home with the pool in the backyard. There was only one on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And when he reached out to get that home, it was sold.
Yep.
I get a home now, beautiful home, 6,000 square feet, just put a pool in the backyard, put about $200,000 into the home.
Mm-hmm.
Still just me.
Mm-hmm.
But I want a modern home.
Okay.
Should I sell or should I keep my house right now that I have in today's market?
Tell them your interest rate.
My interest rate is right at 4%.
Okay.
Yeah, my interest rate is right at 4%. Yep. We bought the home for like right at about 750. Uh-huh. It's worth now, I think, right around 1.1.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I want a modern home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't like traditional homes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I live in a very older neighborhood. I'm the youngest one and the only single person in the hood. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and I respectfully say this, I know my neighbors watch it, love all y'all, but can none of them touch me on my landscaping and what I'm
You know what I'm saying? That is man's landscaping king. He's a landscaping king, man.
I'm serious, man.
That's what he cares about. I promise you.
Now, I'm serious.
They can't touch me.
Curb appeal is just big for me. Like,
sure.
You can't have a seven-figure home and then it looks like crap when you pull up. Mm-hmm. You know, and I am going to say this to hold all my neighbors accountable. Some of them have crappy. Mm. Rewind. Some of them are not good stewards of what God has blessed us with. Mm. Put it like that. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm like, nah. You know, and so what should I sell? Should I rent? Should I go buy and rent this out? Like, what would you say in my situation from this particular situation that I just presented?
Well, I will say for you in particular,
mm-hmm.
you.
Okay, me.
All right.
Not y'all.
Not
y'all. Not
me. There you go.
Blessings.
You walked down the line. Glad you said that.
For you in particular, I would say you keep that property and you rent it out. That property. Now, that being said, you got to look at the rental market and say, does the rent cover the mortgage?
Okay.
I'm going to assume that it does based off the interest rate that you have, the amount of mortgage you still owe, compared to the amount of equity that you have.
Okay.
I will bet a bottom dollar that you should be able to rent it out for more than what you owe every month.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
If that's the case, then I think you can keep that home and then go buy you another one.
But do we even have modern homes in the DMV area?
You can build one too.
Yeah, but I'm going to spend an arm and a leg for that mug.
Right, it is.
You know what I was thinking about doing was waiting 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like stay in a house for two more years, either pay off the house that I'm in now or pay it down a lot and then, you know, do what you said, pocket it. Or I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking right now. But it's like I don't want to sell that home because it's a beautiful home.
Right. Yeah.
And I know I can rent that out.
You rent it out, and you got the equity built in there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
you haven't even dived in the pool 10 times yet.
I haven't dived into it once yet. It's too cold.
Exactly. Is that you keep it.
Yeah.
It makes sense to keep it. Go buy you some more investment properties and properties.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you're ready to really build the modern home, find some land, build a modern home.
Yep.
But you got more assets that you can pick up right now because of the plays that you've made in the past.
Right?
You got so much out there that you can go do.
I want to talk about that. So we're talking about why. The market is still good. It is a seller's market, but you can still negotiate as a buyer to get some assistance.
Yes.
We're sitting at about 12 to 18 more months, which y'all are thinking. It's not a factual thing, but based upon y'all's experience in the market, maybe 12 to 18 months in this, but still now is a good time if you want to buy and get into real estate. What I hear some people saying, okay, cool, you all are saying why and why it's still good, but I only make $60,000, $75,000, $100,000 a year. I want to do this. How do I do this the right way? If real estate is going to help me build wealth, how can I tap into that now the right way?
When I was talking about mindset earlier, a lot of times when people are buying their first home, they think they need to buy their forever home.
Mm-hmm.
They need to buy a flexible appreciating asset.
Yeah.
Make that up. A flexible appreciating asset.
I said it one more time. I like that. Boy, I like that, Keith.
Yeah, a flexible appreciating asset.
Ooh, that's good.
Flexible.
Yeah.
5 years from now, it's going to appreciate. And if I wanted to sell or rent it out, I could do both.
That's good.
Appreciating.
Yeah.
It's appreciating. I got equity.
Yeah,
I can take money and do what I want to with it.
Facts.
An asset. I can leverage it and it's going to make money for me. Mm-hmm. Right? That right there is what your first purchase should be. I tell a lot of my clients that. But historically, we have always tried to hit that grand slam and go get that forever home.
Yeah.
Which what we need to be doing is getting on base and hitting a bunch of singles and continue to make those plays.
Yes.
Right? And not try to keep up with the Joneses, quite frankly. That's what we need to be doing.
Yeah.
You did that with, how did I just
everything.
Go? No, but you did that with, what's her name? She turned Kezia. Me on to you. Kezia.
Yeah, yeah.
So her very first home, without putting all her personal information out there, she moved from an apartment into a duplex.
Yes.
And then I think, is it right next door or is it below her? Do you know?
It's below her.
It's below her.
Yeah.
And she said she ain't paid a mortgage payment.
Absolutely.
Because her renter is paying the mortgage payment.
Yes.
I think she said, I pay Anthony maybe like $300 or $400.
Correct.
And I like that.
And that's the thing about having someone to guide you through the process that's gonna make you be able to see that.
Yes.
Instead of going, because she can easily go buy a forever home.
Easy.
You know what I mean?
Kezia is winning right now.
You feel
now.
Me? Mm. Exactly. Shout out to Kezia. But she said, you know what? Keith, I want to make this investment.
Yes.
I don't want to play the right now game.
Right.
I want to play the long-term game.
Yes, sir.
Right? I'm in this game for the next 20 years. And I tell my client, like, we in this together for the next 20 to 25 years.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And that's important.
Yes.
And so that's what she did.
You know, that's something I'm thinking about doing too, Ryan.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about the multi-unit, different doors. I know that's your specialty.
Yeah.
And a part of me is thinking about, small part of me, but I'm open to it, because at 40 right now I'm only thinking about legacy and wealth building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking trying to impress people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm thinking about, okay, spend the rest of this year in the house of the pool, mm-hmm. rent it out and go do a Kezia play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just go get me in like a nice, you rent that joint out, go get me a condo, a duplex, or whatever we supposed to call it. Mm-hmm. I stay on one side, I got three other doors, two other doors, whatever that is, and I let them do. Now I'm mortgage free. Mm-hmm. But now what's that? Legally, if I have a unit with four doors, mm-hmm. and then just this house, do I say I have five doors or do I say I have two properties?
You actually have both. You actually have six. He has six because he has the walkout basement in the basement.
Sure do.
There you go.
I got the walkout basement, Doc. But because I put the pool back there, I don't know if that's a walkout basement no more now, right?
Can you still walk out?
Yo! But what I did though, Ryan, this is what I did though. I could put it back because of the house beforehand, it was. Their nanny lived down below. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were about to build a full kitchen down there. Mm-hmm. And so I checked with my general contractor. He said, yeah, I could put a full kitchen. So we put a half kitchen down there, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, so you're saying I could even rent out that basement too?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if the HOA will allow that, though.
Check the laws.
Actually, we don't really have no HOA over there.
Then there you go.
I pay it, but we ain't got nobody enforcing it.
They can't stop you from renting out a room in your house.
No.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because I don't know, like, the legalities of it. I don't know if that's considered, you know, a separate legal unit or whatever, but mm-hmm. no one can stop you from renting out. How are they going to stop you from... You don't got a monster truck on the house.
No, sir.
Right? This is just another person that's staying in your house.
Bro, y'all talking good right now.
Right?
Yeah.
Y'all are talking good. How do we get into the multi-unit? Talk to me. How do we get into this? Because how do we get into it right? Because I think I want to start teaching this younger generation on how to do the Kezia play.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly considering that myself. It's like, stay in this house one more year. Mm-hmm. It's too big for me and my dog anyways. Rent that joint out mm-hmm. to a family or to two families who can use it. Mm-hmm. Pocket that money. Let them pay off the mortgage. Mm-hmm. I go get into a 3-4 unit situation, live in one, and then rent out the other three until I'm married and I got kids mm-hmm. and I can figure out what I want to do. How do we do this, man?
Yeah, I think I always like to start with mindset.
Okay.
And it's very important that you have a positive, enduring mindset.
Enduring. Why are you using that word?
Because you're going to go through some valleys. And I just want to prepare people for this.
Okay.
Because the money is earned.
Okay.
Like the equity you get, you earning it.
Right. I got you.
You earning it before you buy the property.
Okay.
You're earning it when you buy, you know, after you buy the property. You gotta earn it. Sometimes that's through sweat.
Yep.
Sometimes that's through cash.
Okay.
But you're gonna earn it.
Okay.
But That's the point of anything.
Dude. Right.
You earned it.
Right.
And it's okay, because now you earned yours.
Yes.
Right? You earned it because you bought smart.
Yep.
You did renovations to the home.
Oh, my
and
God.
And now you have a plus seven-figure property.
Absolutely.
Right? And you didn't pay seven figures for
so
it.
Didn't.
So I think it's important to start with the mindset.
Okay.
A lot of the opportunities with the multifamilies, quite frankly, you can utilize very similar programming that a single family would use.
Mm-hmm. I can?
You can. You absolutely can.
So I can use an FHA to get a multi?
Up to four units, absolutely. I'm going to tell you another thing. I don't talk about this one a lot.
Talk about it here then, brother. Talk about it.
For the business owner.
Mm-hmm. That's there, me.
That's you. You can use an FHA property, and I have to check with my lender on this again, but this was true, and it's always been true as far as I know of. You can use an FHA loan to buy a mixed-use property. That means you can have a retail like this somewhere and have apartments above.
By only putting
3.5% down. Mm. Most of the times you do a mixed-use.
You go to a business loan.
25% plus down from a bank if you're buying that type of property. If the residential units are more than 50% of the property, you can use the FHA loan.
That's huge.
Right?
That's huge.
So that means if you got four units up top, two to four units up top, and you got a front door, like a retail space, you can go in and put your studio in, and then you live above it. You only got to come out at 3.5%. Well, most of the time, people think you got to come out at 30%, 25%, go get an SBA loan, do all these different things. And I'm saying this to you because this is for you.
Ryan.
This is for you.
This makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I can't confirm nor deny what you're saying, but it makes sense because one of my homegirl, she does hair out of California.
Mm-hmm.
What up, B? She lives up top.
Mm-hmm.
But down below is her business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you have to have a business to even be in that townhome situation.
Right.
So she bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, I was like, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, family? Have you ever worried about the incredible impact of influential figures like Megan Thee Stallion or the profound culture moments like the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott? These stories are more than just headlines. They are powerful narratives that shape our history and inspire our future. You see, for me, these stories represent the strength, the resilience, and the creativity of the Black community. They remind us of our ability to overcome adversity and create world-shifting change. I believe my audience will find these stories both interesting and inspiring because they resonate with our shared experiences and aspirations. If you're interested in hearing more stories like this, you have to check out my friends at NPR Podcasts. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting change out of struggle. Every episode is a living account of what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective, from Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama, to the woman behind the Montgomery bus boycott. There's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen right now to these amazing Black stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4x points on your top two eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4x points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So let's say for an example, if you just work a 9-to-5,
yep.
You can't buy. Mm. Because it is made to be a business split residential area. Mm-hmm. When you walk in on the first floor, there's an office, and then there is the main office that you work out of, and then it's your working office. Then you walk up the hallway, walk up the stairs, that's the main living. Third level's main living. Mm-hmm. But the very first level, when you walk in, it says the name of her hair salon, mm-hmm. right? And then that's it.
Yep.
But she lives right upstairs.
Yep, for sure. And people do that all the time.
Yeah.
They've done it for years and years and years. Sometimes legally, sometimes illegally.
Yep.
But the point is, on the financing part of it,
that's
where you're just chilling on keep your money in your bank. You know what I mean? So, Put a little bit out to get this property.
So, Ryan, talk to me, man. Talk to me. Because this is some good info, y'all. We're going to try and keep it at 35 minutes. Yep, when we get good info, we just get good info.
Yeah.
We got a single mother watching right now. Mm-hmm. She makes $70,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But she needs that cash flow. Mm-hmm. Baby daddy ain't help her do nothing. Mm-hmm. Negroes. She's hearing this and she's saying, you know what? I don't need a big house neither. Yeah. It's just me and my daughter.
Yeah.
But I like that Kezia play. Mm-hmm. Where do they start? To start looking into that process.
Did you do the knack alone?
I did a knack alone. That's the first thing I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Limit my big philosophy in.
Can I do NACA? Mm-mm. Dang.
Nope. You already own the property.
Yeah. Already own the property.
Yeah, you already own the property.
Okay.
Now if you were to sell if you were to sell that initial property, then you technically would be able to do it. But in your situation, I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, cool.
But like your first one could have been a knack alone. My first one was a knack alone. When I was 24 years old, mm-hmm. I bought a property. I still own that property. Actually, I love that property. And it had a 3 beds, 2.5 bath upstairs unit. Mm-hmm. So it was 2 level, but that was 1 unit. Mm-hmm. And then it had a basement with a 1 bed, 1 bath. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in the smallest room. Mm-hmm. And I rented all the rest of them out. And I profited $1,500 a month. When I first bought that property.
Thought you was rich, too.
I thought, you couldn't tell me nothing.
Boy. Hey, you was profitable.
24 years old.
24 plus 1,500.
Yeah.
Mind
and you had a
last
job.
Last year, uh-huh. At that time, probably call it less than 18 months before that, I was staying in my college football roommate's house, paying him $600 a month, working at the gym and working at TGI Fridays because I couldn't get a job. And so,
and then you rolls flip. You don't have a mortgage. You're actually making.
I'm making
15.
Money
on the first property. Remember
on the very first
on the very
property.
First property. Now,
and I wish somebody would have taught me that on my very first property, man.
Yep.
I didn't have no one.
Yep.
You know, what my very first property was went and built me a 3,500 square foot home out in the country, and no one told me to go get a daggone multi thing and put it in there, and you don't pay nothing.
Yeah.
Then after that, as I started growing and learning, I went and my dumb behind bought a townhome attached. I was like, all right, this is an investment play. Let me build it up and rent it out. Mm-hmm. Didn't look at the rules. Mm. Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like because it's attached.
Yep.
You got to own both.
Yep.
If you don't own both, you can't rent out or Airbnb it. Mm-hmm. I was so upset.
Yeah.
I was like, I would have bought both of them.
Yeah.
But no one told me this. Yeah. This is why. Put the camera on me, Jay, please. Thank you, sir. Thank you. This is why they're going to be coming on every month. Because we need to get this information on what can we do. Because some of us, I'm saying us, I'm included in it, we're buying wrong.
Yes.
We are buying wrong. You know, it's like, let me go buy this beautiful big old house. No. One of my friends, Ryan, I told her the same thing. She was like, I want to buy a home. She's like, girl, she's like 6'3", big, thick girl, right? And I said, yo, sis, don't go buy no big old home. It's just you. I'm tall. I'm thick. I'm sitting here like, yo, sis, it has nothing to do with your height or your thickness. She's like, I don't want to feel claustrophobic. Yeah, you're not. The condo was only like 1,800 square feet. I said, you're not going to feel claustrophobic in an 1,800 square foot at 6'3".
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Come on now. It's your first home. Get into it. Get the one next to it. Yeah. Rent it out. Run the play. So you're saying NACA.
Yeah.
To get into like that play, how much money should you have or what should you be looking to spend on average for a multi-unit type situation?
Well, in that situation, it's about your income, right? And so NACA is going to qualify you based on your income. So they're going to say, this is the most we are going to give you. This is the most you can spend.
Okay.
And so obviously, it's going to be that number or
and less. Okay. Okay.
Okay. And then you want to be able to put yourself in the situations, two things. One, if you can make it cash flow or at least break even, you should look at it. Cash flow is obvious. If it at least break even, you should look at it.
Okay. 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 I like that. Breaking even because we're going the equity play, not the cash flow play.
Yeah, you're doing both because even though, just remember, think about maybe 15 years ago. What'd you pay for rent?
Oh, man.
Something ridiculous.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And 15 years later,
yeah,
you pay something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just the other direction.
Right, right, right.
So even if you're breaking even on the cash flow today, if you're playing the long game, 10 years, 20 years from now, that will be a cash flowing asset.
That's good, man. I'm loving this right now because I'm telling you, y'all got me thinking differently about real estate.
But even if you're breaking even, because what we haven't jumped into, even if you're breaking even, the tax benefits really are going to cash flow the property.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
The tax benefits.
Talk about that a little bit.
The depreciation that you can write off on your properties.
If I don't have a business, can I still benefit from the tax play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. All house depreciate. A house is a business. That's the thing people don't think about.
Yes.
And quite frankly, even though we separated a little bit, for the most part, everybody talks about houses and real estate like a business, we just say real estate. It's the same thing, man.
Keith, one of the things I was telling Ryan before you came in is that I'm looking at partnering with some dear friends of mine out of Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
And they're getting into group homes.
Yep.
And when they showed me the money potential on it, I was like, yo, I will happily invest into
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that because we're talking about multi units here, right, which is his specialty. But if I'm not mistaken, group homes is becoming one of your specialties.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How is there profit in that, and how can we get into that at our level?
Yeah, man. So the reason I went to group homes, started learning more about group homes, was because as interest rates rose up, my margin shrunk on my rental income, right?
Yes.
So I wanted to get creative. I kept hearing, group home, go look at a group home, do X, Y, and Z. But what I found was that it's actually less liability by doing a group home and more profitable by doing a group home, right? And also you're giving back. Yep. So I have three returning citizen buildings now where I partner with a nonprofit.
Wow.
And let me just tell you the numbers on it, right?
Okay.
One of my properties. So I pay $1,527 a month in my mortgage payment for
that
property.
How the heck, bro?
Now, I did put 20% down on that property.
Okay, I was about to say.
I'm going
to
give you two scenarios, though. These two scenarios are going to be...
Are you $1,500 in 2024?
Yeah.
I will run around butt naked for a $1,500 mortgage.
Yeah. I bought it in 2021.
Okay.
I remember it was 14 offers. I even went up $30,000 to win the deal, right? Remember, it was 2% interest rate.
Remember, he said he paid... Go up 50.
Go up 50.
And so... the cool thing about it is I knew the listing agent. And I want you to remember this right here, too, on deals. Relationships will take you places money can't.
Absolutely. I mean, you had a relationship with my realtor,
exactly.
Who sold our house. That's
exactly.
How we got it.
That's how we got it, right? And so our mortgage payment is $1,527. The nonprofit, they go get government funding. They get the money from a government,
$2
million contract, $3 million contract. They have a 24/7 person on staff there at the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pay me $9,500 a month for that property. Now, if I went Section 8...
Wait a minute, how much?
$9,500 a month.
I just wanted to make sure we heard it the second time.
My mortgage payment is $1,500.
Bro, pause.
Yeah.
He in shock right now. Yep.
Yeah.
No, don't say nothing. I want y'all to understand what he just said. He's paying $1,500 a month for the mortgage, but you're getting a check for $9,500.
Yep.
Is the $9,500 paid for the team... For the people too, or is that all in your pocket?
It's all me.
I worked hard for that $9,500 too.
You sure did.
I paid my dues for that.
Took a lot of risk.
I took a lot of risk.
Yep.
Yeah, man. And the thing is, man, this is a returning citizen for adolescents, right? Okay. So a lot of people don't want to house them. So I wanted to find a way. Okay, this is one of my passion projects. Hey, let me find housing for these people because they need housing as well. And I renovate these properties very well. Mm-hmm. People say, well, why you renovate the property so well? They're gonna tear it up. But actually, believe it or not, they've never had anything this nice. And so when they get something this nice,
they're gonna take care of it.
I've never had any crazy problems out of my knock on wood. problems out of my returning citizens. So that's play one.
Okay.
All right. I got another one, right? I paid $750 for it.
$750,000.
This is my returning citizens for women's.
Okay.
I paid $750,000.
Okay.
Before I closed on it, before I went to the closing table, it appraised for $815,000.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
$75,000 more.
And I paid my interest rate mm-hmm. is 7.3%.
Oh, Jesus.
And I bought this in the high interest rate market.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mortgage payment is $6,000.
Oh my gosh.
Now it's 6 bedrooms up top.
Okay.
2 bedrooms in the basement.
Okay.
I'm not even renting 2 bedrooms out right now. The 6 bedroom, they're paying me $9,000 a month. So I'm still cash flowing.
$3,000.
Yes.
So you, just from your group home play.
Yeah.
You're at $9,500 for one. You are at $3,000 for the other. I mean, $9,000. So you're at $18,000, but then you're at $7,000. So you're at $10,000 in the profit.
A month on those two properties.
And what are you held liable for, though, for those houses?
So before they move in, I do what you call a maintenance check. I walk through the property and say, hey, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. I bring an inspector out, and I show them the inspection report and say, hey, I'm going to fix these items for you on the inspection report.
Okay.
Once those items are fixed, they signed off on it. And guess what? Here's the cool thing about it. Anything that breaks after I fix what I'm supposed to fix, they take care of it. That's in their budget. And they have a 24/7 staff member. Now remember, that's just for the upstairs portion, right?
Right, right.
And I got 2 bedrooms in the basement.
Can you rent those out to others outside of the group home?
I can Airbnb. I can put a long-term tenant in there. Or if they want to take that space, because sometimes they need more spaces.
Yeah, yeah.
They can take that space.
And you charge them more for those 2 bedrooms?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why should someone like myself or anyone watching this get into the group home play? How difficult is it, honestly, to get into the group home play?
Well, it's about relationships. And so, though I talked about the pros, right. Here are some of the cons, because I always like to talk about the risk comes along with that, right? More risk, more reward, right?
Right.
Sometimes when the nonprofits are going to get the government funding, it takes them a while to get that funding from the government. And so you have to hold the property. So you can have high holding costs, for example. I had to hold that last property that appraised for like $815,000. Mm-hmm. I had to hold that property for probably 9 to 10 months before they even moved in. So I had to pay that $6,000 for 9 months. Now, granted, after they move in, I'm going to make a lot of money off of it, but I had to hold that property until they was finished getting the funding that they needed. For me, it's worth the wait.
I mean, yeah, they're saying we're gonna give you $9,000.
Yeah.
And they're gonna pay off the property for now, let me ask you this question. How long is the contract for? Could they get in there for 2 years and then jet?
They can. But here's the thing. You got to think about it. Not a lot of people want to house returning citizens. And so, to be quite honest, they don't all the time. I had the last people just left and they were in there for 3 years. Mm. And guess what? They know other people. So they're saying, hey, our contract is ending, but we know somebody else who needs a contract and needs to house people.
Mm.
And so that's another thing. And for me, for somebody like me and you, we're very busy. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to be going to fix the toilet, going to fix X, Y, and Z. Sure. They have a person on staff that takes care of all that those items and the maintenance items. So I don't have to worry about it. I don't get any phone calls from those properties.
You don't.
But I want to be very clear. The risk is if you're buying a property for a group home, you could be holding that property
for a while.
And so there's a lot of stuff. I got a buddy who just did it in Baltimore. There's a lot of nonprofits nationwide that get government funding for housing. You just got to tap into it and find out who they are, what are these local nonprofits, and things of that nature.
Is this something that you all are teaching yet? The coalition group on how to get into
it's funny you say that. Yes. I like to go through things myself first before I kind of put it out there.
Right.
I like to experience it before I start teaching about it. But now that I have some experience in it, it's been about 2 to 3 years on it. Yes, we are.
Because we actually, Keith taught a class in person in the property.
Yeah.
So during the renovation, right after he bought it, we saw how ugly it was.
Yep.
During the renovations, seeing how pretty it became, and right before he started putting tenants in it, he actually started doing like a progress class for folks. And I think what we want to be able to do is to bring that to a larger audience.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's really the next step for us that we're in the process. So coming soon, as the realtors like to say, CS right there.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think it's important that we teach this information. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put y'all on blast, but I want to do something with y'all real soon for my community.
Absolutely.
Because I think we're not really educating people on how to make the right decisions for their first homes. And watch this, not just for their first homes. I think there are people like me saying like, dang, I didn't run an investment play.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got into it, because I was like, man, let's go get a good home for me and my family.
Yeah.
But how do we step back and be like, all right, here's a good play for me and my family and extra income.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I want to start teaching our people on that. And even when I bought this home, I knew this wasn't my forever home. Mm-hmm. That's why I bought it. One of my mentors said something to me, every home that you buy, you're going to eventually sell or give it away. Because mm-hmm. you're going to die.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was like, so every home is not your forever home because you're not going to live forever.
Yeah.
So he was like, every home you buy, it needs to be a point to where you can resell it or put a tenant in it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm treating my home the way it is right now, because I know sooner or later, I'm either going to rent it out or sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I want to make sure that when that time comes, it's easy for me to do it rather than waiting to the last minute and then now I got to spend all this money.
Yeah.
And I don't think that people, I wish somebody would have told me, my first home was $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
2018, 17.
Mm-hmm.
First home I bought, I was 32. At that time, the market was good,
mm-hmm.
2% interest rates.
Yeah.
Homes were still high for that time, but they weren't like crazy. I could have bought a duplex.
Mm.
I could have bought one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, no one told me.
Yeah.
I just thought, go get a nice big old home because I'm making all this money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't even have a dog, Keith. It was just me. I should have just went and got me something and just been living right next door to my tenants.
Yeah.
And they won't even know that I was the owner.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. Absolutely. You know when you get that pre-approval and it says you're pre-approved for $350,000?
Right.
But a lot of people, we don't talk about enough. Is that for, that's for a single family, one unit property.
Yep.
But really, if you went for a four unit, so people think, oh, I can't buy a four unit because it costs $700,000.
Right, right, right.
Well, really for a four unit, what lenders do, they take into account the potential rent for the other three units. So now, if you approve for $300,000, what's 3 times 4?
4 times 3, 12.
12. So you really approve for, if you wanted a four unit, you're gonna get a $1.2 million house. If
sounds crazy, but it's true.
Yes. Yeah. We don't talk about, people think, oh, I'm approved. Because lenders don't, you have to know the right people, man.
Yeah.
Relationships will take you places money can't. And if you're not communicating with the lender in a way that they can understand, they're not going to come out and tell you, yeah, you actually can go buy a four-unit building because they can want that sale on that $300,000 home.
And the top of mind, too, for them, it's like, you know, house, they don't do it as much. So house. They're not thinking four-unit.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, there's one thing I wanted to...
It's too many gems, man. It's too many gems right now. Look. He overwhelmed. We dropped too many gems, man.
No. Because I'm sitting here like, man, what did I do? You know what I'm saying? Like, how much money have I missed out on?
Yeah, it wasn't your fault. Not your fault.
It's not your fault. Because you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know.
You can't be blamed for something you didn't know.
Yeah. The person you were working with probably didn't know.
That too.
Probably didn't.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But which is why... I said what Coalition Group is doing is so different because, like I said, I've dealt with actually only two real estate agents. My last one, great guy. But even when I sat down with you, from the very beginning, you said, all right, this is where you're going to live, but this is how you're going to build wealth.
Yeah.
Like that's the play. It's like, hey, this is where you're gonna live, but step two is wealth building, getting you into multiple units, etc. No one ever said that to me when I was 32.
Yeah.
Because I would have had several units by now.
Yeah.
If someone would have said, hey, Anthony, you're 32. It's just you.
Yeah.
Why are you buying a 3,000 square foot home?
Yeah.
Just go get you 3-4 units.
Yeah.
A real nice townhome. Fix it up. Rent out the other two. Rent out the other one.
Yeah.
If it's starting small, like you said, like get a duplex. One here, one there. You live in this one. You live on top. They live on bottom. And boom. And then we'll get you into eventually that thing. But why start grand when you can start here? And me, I'm thinking now at 40, not stepping back, but like, okay, 6,000 square feet. Man, you know how much it costs me to clean that thing every week? And my cleaning people laugh at me. They say, Anthony, we just know the three rooms that we got
to
touch.
I was about to say, you're not even got to touch
everything. You ain't
even
touching everything.
Nope. I'm throwing away money every week. I'm not really throwing it away because they're cleaning it, but it's like kitchen, bedroom, bathroom.
That's it.
And she was like, and where I spend a lot of my time at is in the movie theater room, but she was like, we just vacuum. But we spend all of our time in the kitchen, bedroom, bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
All the other stuff, we're just wiping down, getting the dust off.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm wasting money.
Yeah.
It's a big house.
Yeah.
And she said, really, the vacuum is just vacuuming up your dog's hair. And I'm like, what am I doing? Hmm. So we got to teach this stuff, y'all. Yeah. Man, we got to teach this stuff, man. And this is why I want y'all to come on every month. And I polled my community and said, no, please bring them back every month. Mm. Because I think my community is ready for the information.
Yeah.
Not just the fluff to get into another course, which courses are important. And y'all, we're gonna eventually even do a course, right? But we wanna give away so much information to where here's the truth. You can gather this information, but you still need a real estate agent to help you out with this.
Yes.
This is not, hey, watch it and then go do it yourself. You're going to make so many mistakes. You're going to miss so many loopholes. And I remember this, and then I'll end the show because we're already way over time. See, we couldn't even do this. But we're going to drop Coalition's information inside of the show notes. Shout them out. We're going to do something together, and we're going to announce it here in the DMV area. But this is why relationships are key. I remember when I was getting this place, we almost didn't get it. But then Keith recognized their real estate agent, and I'll never forget, he called him and said, hey, what do we need to offer to get this man a house? Is a very influential person. He needs a home. He is serious at it. Boom. Don't know where the conversation went from there. All I know, Keith said, you're good. Yep. He said, this is the number. Put this number on there and the house is yours. I was like, Keith, are you sure? He was like, yeah. And I think at the time, I remember when we first, it wasn't Keith, but when he sent someone to walk around the house FaceTime. Mm. And the guy, the real estate agent at that time said, we already have 13 offers in. Mm. This is the day one of the open house.
Yep.
Yep.
By the time I got back to Keith, they got 25 offers in. I'm offer number 26. Mm. I said, Keith, I'm not gonna get this house neither. I'm pissed off. Mm. He said, no, I know the guy. Let me call him. He called me back. He said, hey, if you can put down this number, the house is yours. And we got the house two days later.
Yeah. Relationships matter, man.
Yeah.
But if I tried to do it myself, I wouldn't have got the house.
It would have been tough.
And we're trying to save money when saving money actually cost us more money.
Mm. Yes. Ooh, that's powerful right there.
Man.
That's powerful. I think you said it again.
No, I'm serious. It's like when you try to save money, it sometimes costs you more money.
Yeah.
And it's not even just with houses. Like if I would have went out there and bought this house and I could have saved money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But even just like, a lot of people think I want my people to be cheap. No. I just want you to be wise with your money.
Yeah.
Instead of you buying a backpack for $20, yo, just go spend a couple hundred dollars on a backpack. Mm-hmm. Because that $20 backpack ain't gonna last you that long.
Right.
Then you're gonna end up spending another 20. Then you're gonna spend another 20. Yep. Then another 20. You done went through all this time and headache and repurchasing when you could have bought one for $200 and it lasts you for a couple of years and saves you money.
Yep.
And so for everyone watching today, I'm going to drop Coalition information inside of the show notes. Check them out. No matter where you're trying to get property at, they have connections. Remember, relationships. If you're not in the DMV area, they got people connected to them that can help you out in other areas. So we're going to drop their information in below. But if you're in the DMV area and you're trying to run this play, and I know some of y'all saying, Anthony, I thought you were teaching a Dave Ramsey play, pay cash for all your real estate. Well, listen, I haven't been there in 3 years. And one thing I am okay with is real estate and financing, because I do believe specifically for black people, we don't have $2, $3, $4, $5 million cash just sitting there. And so if we can get the right information and steward it correctly and not over leverage ourselves when it comes to real estate, then I'm all for it. But I'm not saying you make $60,000 and go finance $10 million of real estate. That makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense, right? But whatever you can handle with the right information from Ryan, from the Coalition Group, Keith, and them, man, you could win. You could win. So we're going to put all the information in today's show notes. Come back next month to see them, because we're going to do this every month. We're going to be teaching something, and just stay close to it, because we're going to be announcing something to where we can come and actually have some physical on-hand training that's longer than a 30-minute, 40-minute play, so we can get you some information and get you into the house and get you building wealth. All right? So we love you all. God bless you. We'll see you on the next show. Peace out.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.